Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most procedurally generated podcast network.
Hey everybody, welcome to a special episode of Baseless Reaction, a based reaction.
Whoa! You fucked that up.
Damn it, no, why?
You said baseless reaction,
okay,
based
I'm
reaction.
So sorry. Hey everybody, and welcome to a very special episode of Baseless Speculation, a base reaction on Black Widow.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. Joined by our regular knuckle fucks, me!
Me!
And me!
And another knuckle fuck!
Me!
Me!
It's Ethan. This podcast has entered the Ethan zone.
Let's go!
We have the, frankly, mythical creature. Ethan, within the mythos. Black Widow, let's talk about it. We saw it. We went and saw it at the cinema.
Yeah, that was a good experience. I like seeing cinema
I like
with friends.
Going it to was, the movies.
It
was good.
Hasn't happened in so long.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
So, the whole experience, we'll start before we get to the film. It's funny to frame exactly what happened, which is we then went out for a spaghetti dinner.
Yeah. Had some cheeky cocktails.
Yeah. It was good. And chips.
At that point in the restaurant, Jackson pulled out his BS Boys bingo card
now
that
I,
he had printed
did
off.
Did I bring it in today?
Hey, Jackson.
Yeah. Oh, Ethan the King
we got
has
it.
Brought in his. Oh, that's such good
Here
news.
Here you go. I'll lend it.
Thank you. Bless you.
So we pulled out the BS Boys bingo card, the one that Jackson has carefully constructed, because this Black Widow baseless speculation episode actually debuted before
the bingo card concept was even around. So I had to go back. And we weren't, these days, if we come up with a speculation, we're screaming, put it on the bingo card. We're hollering it to whoever's listening. Back then, we were having serious. Do you know how much of that episode is dedicated to us just talking about the backstory of Black Widow and all the production behind it? We don't care these days. We just dive on in.
How things change in a short, what, 12 weeks, 20 weeks?
We were taking it so seriously. Yeah. But so I had to go through and I had to pick the, you know, things that were the closest to a speculation.
How many of those were Taskmaster?
I would say about 7 were who Taskmaster will be.
So there's 20 squares on the grid, the BS Boys bingo card grid.
Yeah. Mm.
7 of them are related to the reveal of the Taskmaster.
Would you like me to read them out? Read them out for the people? Do you think that's worth doing?
Yes, but I reckon first we should. So what happened was in the restaurant, pulled out the bingo cards. Yeah. Ethan got his first look at it and was like, "Jackson, I have questions." And filmed that.
None were answered.
Yeah, I filmed that. So if you head to the Sans Pants Radio Twitter account, it's there.
Yeah.
We're just sitting in a restaurant and Ethan's like, "So what do you mean by, this is just an example of one of the many squares on this. What do you mean by old Gamora and baby Gamora?"
A great question.
And then I have to explain in the episode we talked about the soul zone or whatever.
And it also got to the point where Ethan, yourself, and I added extra squares to our individual bingo card sheets.
Because we came up with theories on the day, and even, you know, we had theories in subsequent episodes of Baseless Speculation as well.
Yeah.
Mostly as to who Taskmaster was.
Well, we've got Ethan's one in front of me, and I can see that he has added an 8th Taskmaster reveal, which is Taskmaster is robot.
That was written during watching the movie.
If that's
allowed. But you'll notice
before
it's also not crossed off.
It's not crossed off. What about Headcrack Marvel? What's that mean?
Yeah, no,
Headcrack Marvel
the
logo.
Whole movie, it ties into another theory, so that's a twofer.
Yeah.
If the whole movie takes place within the dying thoughts of Black Widow in Endgame, the camera's gonna zoom in into the red blood of her cracked skull, and it's going to turn into the Marvel Studios.
Da, 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 da. Imagine that, opening on Black Widow's dead face. Da, 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 da.
Children in the cinema crying.
This is sad.
Well, that's another thing. We get into the cinema, and I had purposely booked seats because I knew that we were probably going to have the bingo cards in the cinema.
Yeah.
And I knew that it was going to be a relatively busy session of people excited for the movie. And I was like, okay, I found 5 seats because there was 5 of us. In the cinema where there's like a 1 or 2 seat gap, then there's 2 people, then another gap. I'll be like, it's fine. because we can be like a little bit not
a little bit rowdy because it was exciting to be at the movies.
Obviously not too rowdy. We respect the art of cinema, but just like a little bit of like pulling at
the
finger.
Well, there's
gonna
be a little bit of like, does this count as a Red Hulk cameo? Is that Red Hulk? No.
But unfortunately, I had two, I would say 13 to 14 year olds that were very excited for this film. They started crying in the welcome back to the movies introduction.
That rules.
And I was just like, look, I'm not even going to pull out my bingo card. Oh, yeah. I need to respect these teens. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah, even though they were sitting in the wrong seats. And also, they did the thing that I was like, oh, okay, it's cool. Like, they'll realize there's five of us, there's five seats here. There's two of them, then there's like three seats and then more people. They'll just move over one.
No,
they didn't. Because they were awkward teens, so they would have been like...
They're crying at Welcome Back to Cinema. They're awkward teens.
Yeah. And they were really excited and... Yeah, so the welcome back to the movies thing we got, which is upsetting that it wasn't the Fast and the Furious.
I know, that's
one.
The best one, where Don Toretto's like, well, excuse me, Vin Diesel.
No, same.
It's both. That's the crazy thing.
It's Vin Diesel pretending to be Dom Toretto, but not acting as Dom Toretto.
It's like Dom Toretto, but existing in our world because COVID exists.
It's been a crazy year.
Yeah. And there's one thing that goes back together.
The movies.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to the movies.
But instead we got the Marvel one, which was just like
shit.
10 minutes of...
I've seen these films. Yeah,
when that was running also, lean over to Zam, it's like, are they going to show the whole thing where they just advertise the next 6 years of movies to us?
And they did!
Yes, they just did.
Yes. And yeah, so awkward teens were fucking firing up there.
That's great.
And like... Yeah. Look, like
God,
I said,
God bless him. Hey.
No, that's what I mean. I'm not going to sit there and make fun of them for being excited for a movie. That's sick.
Yeah.
If you're listening and you were those awkward teens, it's funny you didn't say anything.
That's why they didn't move. They're big fans of Joel Dusha.
Yeah.
That's why they were crying. Yeah. Oh my God. We're sitting next to the Joel Dusha.
I hope he brings out his bingo card.
Why isn't he bringing out his bingo card? We've ruined it for him. Well.
Yes. So
movie starts.
Yes. So how do we feel about this movie as a whole?
I liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to. I was expecting to have like a 2 to 2.5 star experience.
Yeah. Okay. How many stars would you say you have?
I give it 3.5.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I watching this movie. This is going to sound like a criticism. I'm watching this movie. I wished it was a better film.
Yeah.
But that's not to say it was like, I guess what I mean is like it deserved to be a better film than I think the film it was, which sounds crazy,
it's
but you know what
really,
I mean.
We'll get into it more when we discuss, but that is like an apt description of this film and kind of how I feel about it, even though I did like it.
Yeah.
Because there's...
Well, I didn't dislike it, but watching it, I'm like, this movie should have been a better movie.
It could have been a better movie.
Yeah, I've fallen the same boat.
Yeah.
Like, driving back, like me and my wife, we were talking about
it. I was there
it.
Too.
Zafu dropped you off.
We
were just talking about just like...
We weren't meant to talk about the movie after I left.
A little bit of a few missteps here and there. And you're like, instead of it had been X, it could have been Y. Instead of it could have been this, it could have been that.
Oh, we haven't spoiled anything yet. And if you're still listening,
there's going to be spoilers.
Yeah.
But I think for me, it's like I expected like a 2.5 to 3-star movie. And I got a 2.5 to 3-star. I think to me, it's like a 3-star movie because I'm like, it's fine. There's some really good moments. I laughed at it a few times.
Yeah, yeah.
The best review I could probably give this movie is I went in expecting to feel nothing, and I left feeling a bit of something.
Yeah.
Hey, that'll do. That's probably also a good description of how I feel.
The
as
magic
well.
Of cinema, I say.
It's the magic movies. Of movies.
Movies. Well,
say it with a secret B. You're saying MBOOVYS.
Movies. Now we're getting really close to movies, which is going to make me start thinking about Kevin Smith again. So let's move on.
Make me think about movies.
Oh, Moby!
Welcome back to the Mobies.
Moby. That's he does the song for Bourne.
Yeah, that's true.
One of the fuckheads in Bourne is Jeremy Renner. Jeremy Renner is Hawkeye.
I think this is
references to Hawkeye in this film.
I pointed it out on the night is that during our baseless speculation for Black Widow, not once do we mention Hawkeye.
That is funny.
It just doesn't come up. It's so funny. Like throughout the MCU, Black Widow and Hawkeye are constantly paired together. And when we were like, what will happen in the Black Widow movie? Not once were we like, oh, they might reference him.
Well, come up. Yeah, because on the BS Boys bingo card again, you'll notice that there's two cameos. Well, three cameos,
yeah.
Which is Chris Evans.
Didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
Robert Downey Jr.
Didn't happen.
Although this is crossed off with a question mark written down.
Because at the movies, back at the movies, they show Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
And so I count that as part of the movie. Because the Marvel Studios logo was shown and then things happened.
Yeah, Ethan's right.
And then you got Ted Salas cameo, which is, of course, Man Thing.
Yeah, there was no reference to Man Thing.
No Man Thing reference.
Disappointing.
Yeah. Which is a bummer.
Was there a swamp?
No, not really.
There wasn't really much place for Man Thing to fit.
Bioluminescent fireflies. Maybe they were blinking something in Morse code.
I don't know Morse code.
Man
will return.
Exists and is the Marvel god.
Man Thing's next, Jackson. We are sending you messages. Kill the president or whatever.
Man Thing confirmed. Kill the president.
Okay, that's crazy. But it's so funny to imagine that coming down the bottom, like at the end of a Marvel movie. And I'm like, it's crazy they want me to kill the president. You're like, we didn't see that, bitch. Yeah, Man Thing's confirmed kill the president, Jackson.
I'm off.
I got it, dude. Marvel Cinematic Universe wants me to do it, okay.
Zaman, I'm going to need, like, 2 weeks off.
It's going to take you longer than 2 weeks to kill the president. I'm quick.
President of who? Of what?
I'll get it done. Don't you worry.
Where's he going? Yeah, so what's the best way to structure this, I guess? Because we've kind of given our vibe for the film, but obviously we'll... I think
things we liked?
Yeah.
So we'll go around with things we liked in this film.
Yeah.
JD.
I was just going to say that I have like a pretty big theory about this film that I don't know if I should say, because it could fit either here or at the end of the episode.
I can start to do now then.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Don't tease me like that.
Yeah.
Black Widow, based on like the vibes we just gave, another vibe is this feels to me like a solid to quite good phase two Marvel film.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that this script originally was the Budapest film that we constantly people
get
like, that's what they're going to make the Black Widow thing. Because there is a reference in this film to what happens in Budapest with Hawkeye and Black Widow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is pretty much a failed attempt to do what this movie then does for real. Right. So I'm assuming that the original script for this film was just this pretty same events. You just swap Florence Pugh out for Hawkeye.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because all of the events that we knew, like, all this stuff we find out about Budapest is only referenced in this film.
Yeah.
It's not like that we knew previously that it was her last mission to defect to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
That's also in, when they reference, and because I just can't recall, when they reference what happened in Budapest in the previous films, is it a sort of like, oh, aren't we crazy? Like, remember Budapest, or is it like a big deal?
No, it's serious. They use it. I think it comes up in the first Avengers film, I think, when Hawkeye is brainwashed.
She's like, remember Budapest or something.
And then also,
they do it as a joke in the first Avengers a bit. It's like they're just firing off bullets and arrows in New York. It's like, this reminds me of Budapest. I remember Budapest very differently.
Yeah. That's kind of what I imagined it was more like a kind of banter, which is very funny when they're like, when we killed that little girl.
Yeah. Well, no. Killed a little girl, hit an event for 2 days.
Yeah, oh, we played North Budapest was crazy.
Well, no, because Black Widow is the only one who knows. Like, Clint doesn't know that the little girl died.
Oh, that's
the thing
fair.
Is, Black Widow is meant to be...
Still was probably a pretty intense couple of weeks for Clint Barton.
Yeah, but he doesn't give a shit. He then goes to Japan and kills everyone. He loves it.
He is a maniac. Yeah, that's a good point.
That means... Hang on.
Yeah.
Hawkeye goes to Budapest, kills lots of people there.
Well, we don't know the death count, because all that happens is...
They blow up an entire building.
Who's in that building? It's like, what's the collateral damage there?
Yeah.
Like, how much did they try and...
But then if, like Ethan said, remember, this feels like Budapest. So, clearly there was a shootout.
clearly there was a...
Yeah, Clint Barton's lived a crazy life.
Clint Barton's lived a very questionable life. And not just murder. He feels very specific with his murders, and I don't like it.
That safe house shouldn't be a safe house anymore, because there's arrow wounds to the walls.
Yeah. They know where they went. But no, I think you're right, because I remember coming out of this film and being like, if this had come out, the whole thing felt like, because I remember when Black Widow was first introduced into the MCU, everyone was like, give us a Black Widow film. Like straight away, like Iron Man 2, people were like, oh, hell yeah, I hope we get a Black Widow film. And if we had, and this was like a sequel to that, this would have been great.
Well, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Fucking took place where it was meant to take, like, as in
released when it was meant to take place.
Yeah. There is no reason for this to be a prequel.
No,
like, there's no surprises where you're like, well, there's one, but who gives a shit? Yeah, but it's also not like a big thing. It's just like Florence Pugh is still kicking.
She will be back. Yeah, you kind of assumed that was the case.
Well, we assumed it was the case multiple times.
Yeah, Florence Pugh, White Widow, which just was not confirmed, so we didn't cross it out. Yeah.
But okay, there's so many things here where they could have like set up what happens in Endgame even a bit better, even though it's a prequel, you know what's coming next to kind of set that up. And like, to me, I think like a lot of the biggest missteps here were giving me characters that I kind of didn't give a shit about.
Yeah.
So like the biggest
kind
of driving force really towards the end is the other Black Widows, all these kind of like missing girls that got kidnapped and brainwashed. And then it was now, Natasha's job to kind of free them. And I'm like, that's cool, but I don't care. That's cool, but I've never met these people. I don't know who they are. And you kind of get this weird thing where at the very start, where you've got Ray Winston being photoshopped next to next to Bill Clinton and all those kind of things.
That was so funny. The opening credits of this movie were fucked. It felt like a Bourne movie mixed with CSI.
I was about to watch a horrible, excited. Like a true crime documentary about like kidnapped children and pedophile
rapes. But what if we had got that?
Well, that's what I was thinking. As I was watching that, I was like, oh my god, our bingo card is so inappropriate. Yeah. And then we just got a kind of run-of-the-mill Marvel film out of it.
But imagine this, right? So we get that. Instead of like these weird kind of like Photoshop of Ray Winston next to powerful figures, but it had been more of that kind of thing of like, oh, missing girl.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, those pressure, you know, those
like on the back of a milk carton or whatever.
Milk cartons, or those Amber Alerts on TV. Yeah, Amber Alerts. You got the parents appealing, being like, my daughter's missing. And you have a bunch of these kind
of things. Yeah, that would have been good.
And that's kind of the driving force. And maybe you have like a character who's like, oh, Black Widow, you're an Avenger. I thought my daughter was missing, presumed dead, whatever, but I saw her on the news or I saw her in something and she was dressed like fucking you. And you have this kind of thing of that being the agency to kind of push this forward. And then towards the end, if you had her being like, when she's meeting Ray Winston, and the whole thing of being like, he smell bad, so you can't hit him. And then her being sort of like that, like,
I don't know.
You're still
a
bit brainwashed?
I would say, oh, yes.
Like, to be like, you can't hit me because you're still a bit brainwashed. I'm in your head. You're never going to get rid of me. And for that conversation to keep going, and then her to be like, you know what? Fuck you. It's not about revenge for me. Punch him in the face to be like, it's about saving them.
Yeah, there was
and
like
you have
not
that kind of thing to kind of really hammer home that self-sacrifice that she will eventually do.
Yeah.
And I don't know, to me, she breaks her own nerves.
That was cool.
That was sick, but yeah.
But you're like, there are so many of these things where you're like, oh, if you just kind of pivoted to this instead of that. Like Ray Winston being just a man who just reeked of small dick energy.
Oh, yeah. And Ray Winston, and it was also like he had big Weinstein energy, I think. Like there was a lot of kind of like that there, which is great. But then when you layer a Marvel film on top of it, it kind of feels like it takes away some of that, I don't know, some of that punch a little bit.
It was very one note. It was extremely one note. And again, you're talking about... And I don't know if this is a Marvel thing where they just do this with their villains. They make them very one-dimensional. But you could have had this nice, like, discussion there where Black Widow is being like, you know, you ruin my life or that kind of stuff. And then Ray Winston being like, what are you talking about? I made you. You're an Avenger because of me.
Yeah, yeah.
And that conversation that Florence Pugh does where it's like, you know,
so the
we're
exact conversation.
Yeah.
No, because that, what you're talking about, happens in the movie. It's just not with...
Yeah.
It's with Red Guardian, not with...
Yeah.
Because it's with Red Dad. Yeah, it's with Dad. It's because Dad is like, yeah, I made you who you are because like I put you in that.
Yeah.
But it didn't, none of it felt earned.
It just felt that kind of, it would have been nice to have that merit thing where Florence Pugh was being like, you're in the front cover of all these magazines. Mm-hmm. And then they have Ray Winston being like, because of me, you're in the front cover. You're great, blah, blah, blah.
I wonder if what you're saying about like having more of a punch to the whole, the 50 Black Widows sort of story would be if, when they found them, instead of being the Hollywood 21 to 28 year old age range, they were all kids.
Yeah, that would have
like
been.
They
that
were.
Would have been yeah, that would have been interesting. True.
But then
it
I guess
could have devolved into Spy Kids.
But that would that be bad? Is that bad? Is that bad? You're gonna say that's bad? Spy Kids is bad? No.
But like that final fight, you had like a bunch of kids kicking the shit out of Black Widow.
That would have been wild.
Also, again, that weird thing where you get that one Black Widow that they who we see break their leg and then shoot themselves in the face, which was brutal.
Yeah,
it's worth noting just quickly. Black Widow, even though it teases you with like really dark themes, shies away from it. But the violence in this film kind of matches the tone of what.
Yeah.
like,
yeah, yeah.
Because like, there's a lot of broken limbs where you see,
yeah,
the
waggly
limb,
dangling.
The limb,
yeah, it was
limb.
Good. Yeah.
Someone
yeah.
shoots themselves in the head with like the wrist,
yeah,
Black
yeah, yeah.
Widow
wrist
thing.
Gauntlet so thing, yeah.
So they have like the same face. This is could be a misguided reference, but in Mission Impossible 3, there's a bomb in a brain, and you don't see anything, but the bomb goes off, and you just see their eyes kind of go like. Like, the eyes don't shoot out or anything. They you just see, like, their life leave their eyes and they
oh,
kind of go, like,
cool.
glassy.
That's true.
It had big vibes
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so you have that scene, right, when that Black Widow is about to shoot herself in the head. She's like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be any of this, right? And so she's cognizant of what she's doing. And then you have the Black Widow fighting the Black Widows, and they're just silent.
Yeah.
And Natasha's being like, I don't want to hurt you, that kind of stuff. It would have been nice them being like, we don't want to either.
Yeah, yeah.
And then still fighting.
Oh, no, it's because... the shoot themselves in the head thing, she only gains the cognitive,
right,
right at
the right
end.
At the end.
Yeah,
she's not
she
talking.
Smashes
yeah.
the, okay. I think that it was a bit.
Because she puts herself in that situation to fall off the cliff.
Yeah.
Because she's like, it's, yeah, the widows don't talk. It's only like right at the end. It's the same with
yeah,
Florence
yeah.
Pugh
yeah.
when,
Oh, yeah, yeah. Again, it just felt like you could have made the fights have a bit more punchy, a bit more personal, a bit yeah. more meaningful.
I think
even
it's just.
It's doing like Taskmaster and Red Guardian. We didn't get to see much of it, and it felt.
Oh, Taskmaster. Look, if you're excited to see Taskmaster in this film, and you are listening to this episode, and you haven't seen it, guess what? They do the phase one or phase two villain thing, which is. Take an iconic comic book character, give them nothing to do.
Yeah.
Remove them from the future of the MCU.
Hey, how's it? Again,
they call them Taskmaster. They do as
yeah,
well. They
yeah,
actually
yeah.
use
it's
the name
Taskmaster. Taskmaster. At the end with Taskmaster, where she like gets the helmet off and she chucks the chemical thing and she frees her from
yeah,
being
yeah.
that. Imagine if that didn't do anything and then she started saying, like, no, I hate you. You
yeah.
blew me up. And
exactly
you just killed my
what
dad.
I thought
That's
was
what I was
happen.
Expecting to happen. But yeah, yeah.
And to be just like, yeah, like, okay, yeah, she's crazy and wants revenge.
Yeah.
I think it would have been, I think it was kind of disappointing that a lot of what happened in this movie felt like shortcuts
yes.
to me. And I think that's such a shame. So like all of these Black Widows are now chemically mind controlled instead mm-hmm. of mind controlled through like programming and
yeah.
MK Ultraing, which means that you can get rid of them with a MacGuffin. You can
yep.
just like reverse it. And so there was never any like any catharsis to mm. anybody ever leaving their programming.
Yep.
It felt really, there was nothing. There's no impact to it when she would break one of those vials. And the very weird looking CGI pixie dust would come out, and then the Black Widow would be like, oh, I'm good now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
That's kind of, and which is so disappointing because you have so much of Black Widow's back.
One scene
yeah.
where it has any impact.
Yeah.
And that is the first time we see it happen
yeah.
when we don't know what's happening.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
So I wonder if it's just the key is Florence Pugh is probably a better actor than most other actors in the movie that are put in the
well,
same
situation.
Well,
and also,
situation.
Like, Florence Pugh has, as a like a main character, has
yeah,
time
yeah.
to emote about it. But
yeah.
the other
yeah.
characters, when they get out of the Black Widowing, are just like, what do we do now? And you're like, like, I get it, but it... And because... And this is kind of what I mean, like, it should have been better. Because you have Black Widow throughout all of the previous Marvel films, we've had these, because obviously she's never really been in the spotlight, but we've had all these hints about, like, all this trauma of her in the Red Room and stuff like that, and it's felt really grounded and really kind of, like, horrible in a
yeah.
way that I don't think we've had anything like that in the MCU really yet. And so to remove the like... I guess to remove like the trauma of it a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because you can, even though Florence Pugh does a very good job to be like, after being freed, I'm still kind of wondering. Am
yeah,
I still
I'm still
who
fucked
I am,
up. That was
stuff.
A great scene.
That
yeah.
was great. But ultimately, it's kind of.
Might as well be a chip. You know what I mean? Might as well have been a chip
Might
on the back
been.
Of the head.
But like
yeah.
Marvel or like this movie is being like, oh, don't worry about it. It wasn't you. It was the brain. It was the chemicals in your brain that are making you. So kind of you can be forgiven for all the things you did.
It just, yeah, I don't know. It just, I don't even know if it's that for me necessarily. I think it just makes it. It feels like a just a silly sci-fi thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't really have any like emotional yeah. weight to it.
It's.
I think a lot of this film felt like it wasn't like
it was, yeah.
Black Widow is returning to her trauma to move on from her past. It was like Black Widow is having a sort of like a sci-fi spy adventure.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing that we find out with this is like all of the stuff that we've heard about Black Widow's trauma and how everything bad was. We find was dealt with off screen.
Yeah, yeah.
In Budapest, but then since then they've changed because of how that went down, or
yeah.
at least that's. Because there's a lot of, like, they give you the dots and, like, you yeah. can connect them. Mm. Maybe you don't connect them. It doesn't matter. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so, like
honestly thought that moment when Florence Pugh was being like, tell me everything that happened when you killed Ray Winston, right?
Yeah.
I was honestly expecting that to happen to be like, oh, she was chemically controlled to like, oh, like false memories, or she was brainwashed further to think that's happened.
Yeah, yeah.
She was still currently like a deep operative.
Yeah.
Like I genuinely thought that was what was going to happen. And I was like, interesting. Oh, no, never mind.
Yeah. I think there is a chance. No, actually, it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah, it feels like that's probably what they were going for.
It would have
been like
cool.
The original version of that would have been something that wasn't.
It's also so weird
that ties into the pheromones thing, but it doesn't actually tie in because it's a bomb.
Yeah, it's a
where
bomb
if it was
in
a hand-to-hand fight.
Yeah,
could have been a false memory, which is what they heavily imply.
Right,
but then, I also think it's so a pheromone. Again, this feels like it's like they've. This wasn't the movie it was originally meant to be.
Did they explain how Ray Winston?
No.
Didn't die?
No.
No.
She was just in the building?
Here on Baseless Speculation / Based Reactions, we love that. Han's death in Fast 9? Don't worry about how it's explained.
Not fucking important.
We didn't see him being engulfed in flames. We saw his daughter being engulfed in flames.
Yeah,
she's still alive.
Well, I thought it was crazy as well that in this movie they needed to give Black Widow an extra conflict in the daughter. They were like, Black Widow, maybe our most deeply traumatized, conflicted Marvel character. She
murdered
also killed a kid. You're like, I don't think you need to add that extra thing. And then the big reveal that the kid she killed was Taskmaster was
it's
like...
fucking called that, though.
Yeah.
Taskmaster woman reveal.
That's true. We got that. That's we on the bingo card. Taskmaster is a woman. But yeah, and they call it, they're like, he's dangerous. And
there was
like,
there's one moment in this film where they do the MCU masks, which I forgot were a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my brain just was like, wait, what the fuck is going on? And then I was like, are we about to get Taskmaster? Like, is this a reveal of clones?
Yeah, I know. And I was so excited.
And then
Ethan
was like,
at each other. We had our bingo cards like, are we doing it? Are we doing it?
Just basically Rachel Weisz's character, who is referred to as the Iron Maiden in credits, but is not referred to that in the film.
Oh, no, I didn't realize she was the
Melina.
Iron
Maiden.
Wow.
No, because the character that she's named off. Again, Phase 2 stuff.
Yeah.
They're just using names from comic
books. I didn't realize they put it in the credits, too.
That no. Crap. So, like, it could be like IMDb, but it could also be wrong here because it also lists someone as Taskmaster that is not Taskmaster.
Cool.
He might have been doing the body stuff, but I assume that would be a stunt person.
Yeah. Because it was, and just to fill you in on which guy it is.
Oh, yeah, Mason, yeah?
Yeah, it's Mason, which he would not have been. That guy is, like, he's not in bad shape, but he's not in the Taskmaster stunt double
Luke
shape.
From the Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's, I think everyone just saw him pop up in the trailer and like, who's that guy? You can't be talking to Black Widow and only in one scene. You must be the Taskmaster.
he's a named actor. We know him.
What
the fuck is going on with every single person assuming that like everyone's going to be like, every movie has a big reveal because they don't sometimes.
Yeah, that's not necessarily how
I don't know what happened
work.
With the MCU because it's only MCU stuff at the moment. Everyone's expecting like every TV series to end with a huge reveal.
Yeah. I think it's the TV show surely is one division.
Have we got M. Night Shyamalan?
Like, yeah, I think
happened?
We might have been.
Yeah, like the whole like the zeitgeist of like MCU's like, remember twists? We love them.
Yeah, well, because there was originally we got it's heroin, baby. Originally, when we did get a reveal of a character in a Marvel movie, it was like, oh my god! And now we want that feeling again, but we won't.
Yeah, everyone,
we won't get it.
People are going because
hang on, what reveals have we gotten?
I'm sure.
No. Just anytime there's a cameo in a movie, it elevates the movie.
Think about I guess I was the only one that comes to mind. I don't know why, but like Guardians 2, there's the cocoon with Adam Warlock in it, and everyone was like, oh, but who cares about Adam Warlock? No one cares about Adam
Warlock.
We're
finding that out in 2024.
It's a sick name,
whatever.
Though. That is a sick name.
Thoughts?
I could change my surname to Warlock.
Yeah, come on.
Would you respect
Jackson
me
Warlock.
More or less?
Less. More. If you change your name to Adam, though.
More Adam Bailey.
Yeah.
What if I just call myself Adam Warlock from now on? What if I keep my name Jackson Bailey, but I say I'm a warlock?
What about what Jackson Warlock?
Yeah, Jackson Warlock.
That's where we started.
That sounds like Jackson Pollock, but said wrong.
Very wrong.
Jackson Pollock. My favorite artist.
I guess what you're sort of saying with the whole cameo excitement thing would be back in Iron Man 2 when Black Widow was revealed.
Yeah,
and it's
absolutely.
Like, oh, they're bringing in more people.
Oh,
that's
cool.
Crazy.
But then post that, we've got like the cameo of like Captain America and Thor 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's definitely heaps
even like, and this is it's funny because it's Captain America again, but Captain America in Homecoming or whatever, where
oh,
he
yeah,
does
that was
the
fun.
Like little you know, PSA. The PSA, yeah.
Howard the Duck in Guardians of the Galaxy.
So, like, just these little ones that you're like, oh my god, all these other characters.
Nick Fury popping up and everything.
Yeah.
Because this movie felt a little bit heartless. Like, there was no heart to it all.
And
like,
I thought the conflicts.
I mean, there could have been, but they're just, like, again, if Taskmaster wasn't just a silent robot brainwashed
character. I don't even think Taskmaster's the problem for me here. I think that it was like...
It's just a waste. No, Taskmaster being a waste is nothing, because it's not even, like, Taskmaster isn't the villain of this film. Taskmaster is just Taskmaster might as well be a robot.
Like, I get it. Like, they could have done more with Taskmaster, but I think my problem here is that I really loved the central... like, idea behind this, like, we were this fake family, and in a way, because none of us had a real family, we became a real family, but it never felt really earned to me, aside from maybe Florence Pugh.
Feel that it was only 3 years?
Yeah, I was like, why not make it six? Then it's like you were saying on the night, that's Florence Pugh's whole childhood, from birth to six, she lives it, so it feels more... earned when Florence Pugh was like, that's the only life, like, childhood I had. And I'm like, it is 3 years.
Yeah,
like,
but then she's in the red room.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. But I mean, like, 3 years is when you're odd... six.
Yeah, yeah. They should have scaled her up slightly.
I think they should have been almost like eight.
Yeah, or I would have made it.
But then
we've done the math here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because the MCU, I mean, not as brave as Fast and Furious. I don't know if have you seen Fast 9?
No.
Okay, so they put dates on stuff in that.
Oh,
and this isn't this is not spoilers for Fast 9, because I understand you've come here for Black Widow spoilers. We're not wrecking every movie in this one. But in Fast 9, they put a date on a thing that means that in universe, Dom Toretto, Vin Diesel, is in his 50s.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Which is...
he's looking good for 50.
Well, in real life, he's nearly 60.
Yeah, he's looking real good.
He's jumping off cars. He's dragging
But it's so funny to be like, in Fast and Furious movies, like, they're just like hitting each other with cars, catching people with cars.
Catching cars. It's just...
falling off buildings and shit.
Being
collapsing. Yeah.
It's great.
But I think
we did the maths, and Black Widow is...
Florence Pugh's character was six when that all wraps up, and then they flash forward
21 years. Yeah. So she's 27, which takes place in 2016.
Yeah.
The snap then happens in 2019.
Yeah.
So she's 30.
Yeah.
Then 5 years pass. So we then, look, this is the big spoiler, I guess. Yeah. We get like a post-snap Black Widow's dead post credits cameo.
Elaine. Louise Dreyfus from Elaine. From everyone's favorite 90s sitcom,
who
Elaine.
Recruits her to join what will definitely be the Thunderbolts.
She doesn't recruit her. She's already currently working for
her. That's true.
I didn't cross off Thunderbolts here, but I should have.
Well, they didn't mention it.
It's also Ethan Sheik, so you shouldn't have crossed off shit on it.
It's weird that I guess they are replacing old mate William Hurt with Elaine.
Yeah. But
I guess I get it, because I guess William Hurt's getting a little bit old. And so kind of like the Samuel Jackson problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, here's my thing that I think is going to happen with William Hurt. Is they're going to Red Hulk him? And then he'll just be voice acting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but so what I feel like is I would have liked it if the vast majority of this film was like a broken people accepting they're broken and having this realization. This is what we were. We were a family. We've got to get back to that. But we got like maybe 20 minutes of that that only felt kind of one way. And then we just had to accept that Red Guardian and Iron Maiden, I guess, were like, we feel the same way, even though we never really got any indication that that was the case.
This movie.
And I wish it was that film. That's what I think I mean when I say it should have been better.
Yeah, again, there's a few different paths they could have taken. And I'm like, any one of those would have been a bit nice.
Well, no, they do all the emotional weight stuff. It just doesn't involve Black Widow. It's all with Florence Pugh. Pugh is the emotional core of this film, but she's
Florence
not the lead.
Florence Pugh is a delight. She's so good at this.
Her scenes with Red Guardian with the family, you believe it. He sings a song, it's a reference.
Oh,
whatever.
Yeah, that was great. There's just nothing
involving, like, so Black Widow and Florence Pugh again.
Mm.
Yelena is her name in the film.
Yeah.
So Yelena and Natasha have it. Yelena and, what's his name? Red Guardian have it.
Okay, so you know how we're in a constant state of chaos and fighting for our lives every single day on this godforsaken earth? Between work and everything else falling apart around me, I have not had it together enough to meal prep or plan dinner, or honestly, function like a normal human being most weeknights. Cooking something good is hard, and I deserve a modicum of joy every now and again. That's why I've turned to Omaha Steaks. My freezer is full. That's sorted. It is genuinely the one part of my life running smoothly. Real steaks, burgers, seafood, chicken, sides, all shipped to my door. So even on the nights where everything else is on fire, dinner isn't one more thing to stress about. I made the burgers the other night, didn't even have the energy to think, just pulled them out, threw them on the grill, and they tasted like something from an actual steakhouse. Somehow, the one corner of my life that's together is the one I didn't even have to think about. If you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the easiest way in. 20 premium steak burgers across 5 cuts. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's right, BEEF. B-E-E-F. omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Alexi. Yeah. But then those three of them don't really have it, but it's touched on.
Yeah.
And Mom is not involved at all. Stop playing with that pen, Jackson. It makes a noise.
Yeah, well, I just felt like, and even like I got the idea, I got because the movie told me that Red Guardian also felt an emotional connection to the girls, but I only got it because he told me. I didn't ever get shown it. Yeah. All I got shown was them, and he's like, we got to get out of here. Also, I fucking hate this life. Now I'm in jail. Actually, I loved you the whole time. And you're like, but I never saw that. I never, it didn't feel real.
I feel like you're right on there giving all Natasha's...
Stop. We just told you to stop doing that.
Me. Take it off me. I can't be controlled.
Corner. Drag the mic over.
Give him that box of tissues or whatever. You can just... You just hear...
I just take them out and pile
Play
them
with something
me.
That doesn't make noise directly into the microphone.
I can't.
I feel like they're giving all the emotional weight to Yelena because they probably feel like any emotional... progression for Natasha is wasted because she's dead.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, they don't. That's
see,
something.
I know. I disagree with this because I've heard this like a few times being like, I don't care about this film because I know the very next step is Natasha like swan diving off a cliff. And I understand that. But,
having
like,
a
it,
slip.
It doesn't. It does, like, that shouldn't matter. You can still tell a very good story depending like what happens afterwards. It doesn't matter. You can still do that.
Yeah.
But they kind of just don't.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's more that you can't in the sense of. Because of the way, it's not that a movie can't, it's the MCU can't. Because the way that the MCU is structured, they can't leave anything untouched for her.
Yeah.
Because they've only given themselves such a brief window that you can't leave any character development or any emotional beats you left unsolved, which is the only way you're going to get the movie that you want.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because we know that the next thing happens is she meets up with Steve, falls off a cliff.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In space.
Mm. Yeah. I feel like you absolutely could have done it, but... Marvel doesn't want to.
I don't think it's that you couldn't, it's that Marvel wouldn't.
They have 2 hours and 15 minutes to either give closure, like earned closure to Black Widow, or set up the next one.
Yeah.
They'd much rather set up the next one, unfortunately.
Which is weird, because this movie doesn't do either.
No!
Yeah,
that's what I mean. It's kind of like, I liked the film. I had a fine time with it. Again, to me, it's like, you know, it's like a 3 out of 5 film for me.
Mm.
But again, it just feels a little hollow, it feels a little heartless, it feels a little empty.
Yeah.
And if it had
come out in phase two, we would be that was a good time.
That was a good time. Great film. And like, to me, it's because it does work in a very self-contained film.
We crossed that off. We got that.
Because it is a self-contained film.
No, because the post-credits mean it's not.
That's right. Fuck.
That doesn't count.
You got to say true to the sheet, Zammit. Come on.
It doesn't count. But because it's very much self-contained.
Also, it's not anyway, because it's directly tied into Infinity War and Civil War.
I know. It could never have.
Old mate, bloody Ross is there. I get it. Yeah.
Like, but the movie starts within the movie Civil War, basically. Yes.
But even though it's like majority, as in like you take those kind of like those types of framing devices away, it's very much a self-contained thing. And then all I could stop thinking of, like, okay, so this is pre-snap and so you've then got a whole group of widows who are very powerful, basically trained kind of like Black Widow. You also have Red Guardian, who is a super soldier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where were they in the portal opening on your left?
Here's the thing that Marvel can do. They were there.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah,
they're
going to
go back and edit it.
But like, initially, like, fair enough, like with with the Black Widows, you're like, okay, fair enough. They were brainwashed. They don't want nothing to do with superhero bullshit. But you got Red Guardian, who kept going on about Captain America.
Yeah.
You're like, it would have been interesting just to have him be in there and being like, Captain America, hey, remember me, dickhead? And he's like, I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Do you feel if you're going to try and make them all interconnected, then they haven't, and then it's just a very
strange. That didn't bother me so much. Yes. What bothered me a little bit in a kind of similar vein was Ray Winston being like, I control every world's government. And we were like, was that just happening in the background of every other movie in the franchise?
Well, yeah, because he was working. Melina mentions it.
Yeah, like, no, I know. Legitimately says, it's kind of the same thing.
She was like, I was working with S.H.I.E.L.D. Well, I guess they were Hydra.
Yeah. But it's kind of the same thing in that the movie, they just tell me that that's the case.
Yeah.
I never see it. Mm. I never get any sense of it. They just like,
Marvel movies are sick like that.
Yeah, they're just like,
this is
fucking happening.
If you were to look at the MCU, you're like, oh, okay, so
how many secret organizations are
there? You're like, all right, so there's the government, which Iron Man reveals is sort of bad, but then we find out that S.H.I.E.L.D. are in charge of the government, and that's fine, but then S.H.I.E.L.D. also bad.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, now we've got the Red Room is controlling them, so there's like eight layers, so when you're looking at a President Fuckhead from Iron Man, whatever, you're like, oh, wow, he's an idiot and sucks, but then also there's like eight layers above
him. You're like, is that president, is it him making the bad decision? Is it S.H.I.E.L.D. making him make the bad decision? Is it Hydra making S.H.I.E.L.D. making him make the bad decision?
Or is it Ray Winston making the bad decision?
Is Ray Winston now responsible for Iron Patriot?
Yeah. Also, because the Soviets had Red Guardian, who
they used for secret undercover missions.
But they made toys from him.
Yeah, that was strange.
Well, because I think in the 80s, he was a superhero in the Cold War.
Like a propaganda.
So, the same thing they did with Captain America. But then after that, they retired him to undercover work.
I kind of wish they showed,
because he's talking about fighting Captain America in 83.
You mentioned how mom, I forgot the name.
Spirit 76.
Oh my God.
Was the mom like, yeah, we were working for S.H.I.E.L.D., that was Hydra, or they stole the information for the mind control from Steel, which was Hydra, because Hydra had Winter Soldier, which was the first bit of mind control, and they stole it. And that's what they could do with the amygdala or whatever.
Actually,
it was so funny when they just like babbled like absolute not scientific nonsense, and then she's like, it's just science, dude. That's like fucking Hank Pym being like, dude, it's a magic particle.
I can control this pig with an iPad.
It's just science.
It's just science.
And that was weird as well, where like that scene where she makes the pig stop breathing, that is a scene where that's your like kick the dog moment, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, here's a character, we don't know her allegiances.
And she tortures
an animal, and we're like, okay, is she bad? But then
they're
just like,
back.
Hey, don't do that. But then there was never like, let's explore the moral gray of the lives we lead.
She just loves science.
Yeah, she just loves to suffocate pigs.
Very bad. They're thinking they're going to reunite with their mom, but mom's a bit of a con. And then she's already called the Red Room, but that was also part of the plan, so mom's sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do so all of my problems with this film, like, Zama, it seems like you got problems from go to woe, basically. not super negative problems. It's just or you're like, you can fix this at the start. You can fix this like a quarter of the way through. You can fix mine. Like, whatever. All of that stuff's fine. The last 30 minutes, put it in the bin. Try again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because like, much the moment that the reveals happen, and like, I love it's a heist movie reveal, and that's fine. It's a double bluff, triple bluff. Because they do it twice where they, like, a thing goes wrong, and they're like, oh, shit, the bad guys are, the good guys are fucked. And then it flashes back to, oh, no, they planned for this.
Yeah. He got smells bad. They counted for his smell.
I will say, though, that the fact that an MCU movie has the hero smashing their face on a desk to break their own nose so they can punch a guy in the face is sick.
And I kind of wish there was more of that as well. Like there was more of like,
more noses broken?
Well, yeah, more of Red Scott, of Black Widow specifically. Yeah. Because I really like, because I hate Clint Barton. He can die or whatever, but I love.
Well, he probably will.
Thanks
at
God.
Some point, both in real life and in the movies.
That's good to hear.
Jeremy Renner's getting old and everyone hates him.
But I really like the normal character, the person who doesn't have superpowers or whatever. And if they'd shown a bit of the the physical toll that this fight was taking on Black Widow, that would have been cool if they were like, she's not a Fast and the Furious style, you know, Ubermensch or whatever. Yeah, so she does have to break her nose to get, she can't use some cool technology or that,
like stuff with when she was getting changed and all the bruises.
Yeah,
and
I was like, that's cool. And Florence Pugh had to dig the, she dug the chip out of her body.
Yeah, there's a couple of things. Like even the, when they're breaking out Alexei from the prison, I wish they had done something smarter than just brute force.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because I'm like, yes, you've got Natasha, who is arguably one of the world's best spies, and then you've got her sister, who is also trained as one of, like, the world's best assassins, so they're going to get a helicopter in broad daylight, use an iPad to open up doors, and then he's going to jump his way out, and then they're going to cause an avalanche. So it was very much a brute for situation where you're like, but they're spies.
Yeah, none of it felt very, like
clever. Well, I think the thing is that they had a clever plan and he's an idiot.
But their plan was just drop down and get him.
Yeah. Well, the plan was they caused a distraction. They opened all the doors, dropped down, get him. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean,
because like
that's...
that goes off without a hit. It's not clever, it's but not, it goes
just,
off without
not,
a hit.
Not what even was the distraction? It's just not interesting to watch.
Wasn't the distraction they set up an alarm?
The distraction was they opened a door.
Yeah. And he also caused a distraction.
Yeah, they were just like, just like
their plan was open door, drop a rope.
Yep.
Mm.
Good plan. That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you like, imagine if they had like the classic thing where it's like a heist film where it's like, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, blah, 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 blah. And you see it happening. And then like, step one, he just punches a guard.
Yeah,
like,
that would have been fun. And then it also, if they'd been like, it's like a heist, we're planning it, then perhaps the second half wouldn't have felt as tonally different, kind of. And I think the reason, because I kind of agree with you, Dushar, I'm like, the second half was just, it was like a, kind of like a bad James Bond movie in a lot of ways.
Very Mission Impossible, like, face reveal.
Yeah, and it was like, and that's fine, and I get fun or whatever.
I mean, to be fair, the face reveal part was one of the moments in the movie where I was like, holy shit, what?
Yeah, what is that? So clones?
Maybe keep the face reveal.
I forgot about this.
Because I was like, what?
I mean, did you not see the glowing two blue face shells in the secret cupboard?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Like the fact
house?
That the mum and Natasha switch suits. Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fucking stupid.
But
I realized that in hindsight. Yeah. Not at the time.
At the time, I was just swept up in the magic of cinema. Okay?
It still shocked me because I thought it was legitimately the mum was pretending to be the mum and it was actually a clone.
I was still
on the clone theory.
I was going clone as well for a moment. For that brief unpetite, we're like, clones.
I'm like, we predicted it. We nailed it. We're the cleverest people who ever lived. Dumbest again.
All the way down. Shit.
We've said this before that our podcasts are like successful enough that there is a chance that one day a studio will hear one of our ideas. And this kind of felt the opposite of The Force Awakens. The Force Awakens, Finn obviously being the plumber on the Death Star or whatever. They were like, all right, they think clone. So what if we make a fake out reveal and then reveal that would be the dumbest fucking thing and that we hate these guys?
What if we stop just short of coming out of the cinema and into real life and whacking them upside their heads?
Stupid. You guys are dumb as fuck.
Yeah,
Kevin Feige personally mails you a bomb.
I deserve it. I'd open it.
Oh my God, a letter from a bomb-shaped letter from Kevin Feige.
It's just light here. It's one of those bombs with a big fuse. All right.
Okay, weird to do that to a letter, but sure.
Wait, are you the president I'm meant to kill?
Rest in peace, mate.
Pieces.
It was like family reunion and then Mission Impossible 3. And it was like just tonally such a change.
It feels like, honestly, they probably needed to add. The movie's 2 hours 15, but it flies.
Yeah, it does not feel like 2 hours and 15 minutes, weirdly. Which is strange.
Which means they probably. And I don't know if there was stuff cut out of this film, because this also has vibes of like trimming the fat, but not in like a studio interference way, but just like.
It's too
the original version of this film is like closer to 3 hours. Yeah. We can just cut this out. Cause like edits like that make sense. Cause you're like, oh, okay, cool. We can save 25 minutes by just removing stuff that the audience is going to assume happened anyway.
Yeah.
And especially because a lot of the stuff that they probably cut out would have been the stuff that we are now missing, which is like
the kind of emotional beats and a little bit of the.
Cause the emotional beats are still there. It's just that they don't hit
they
super
kind of
hard.
Fly. Pretty quickly. Yeah.
Rather than just like punches to the guts, it's like a little poke in the guts sometimes.
Yeah, and you're like, oh yeah, I guess
again,
they're sad. Sure.
Yeah. Like Florence Pugh all of the stuff with Florence Pugh and Scarlett Johansson is really good.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, the first half of the film where it's just those two together.
Yeah, I really like that.
This may be the only time we see them together in the MCU, and if that happens, Kevin Feige, you're going to be the president I come for. I would watch 100 movies starring those two than another 30 minutes of fucking Robert Downey Jr.
Absolutely.
Mugging up my fucking cinema.
Such a great chemistry together, and I agree.
And they're good at acting.
Yeah,
they feel like they're acting.
Yeah,
see, I love them too. I really did like Alexi. Like, I liked the Guardian as a character. I thought that was really, like, really good. Rachel Wise,
she's not a character in the movie. That's the thing.
That's the problem.
Just Ray sort of Winston. There. Can we all just say, just his accent flawless?
Oh,
I mean, it's shocking to me to find out that he is not actually Russian.
I know,
and that he is. He's more of a Cockney.
What you might call a Cockney geezer.
A geezer at the best of times.
I only know that guy from the Transformers movies. So, colour me shocked.
That's right, love, I made the Black Widows.
I'm a Russian man. I'm controlling the world.
Apples and pears, Natasha. Oh, blimey.
You can't control me because I smell bad.
I've got a powerful, noxious odour, Natasha. Yeah, I'd like to see you try.
It goes out of my armpits and into your nostrils.
And then she smacks. Her nose.
Blimey, your nostrils all clogged up.
You can wallop me now.
Flawless Russian.
That would have been real
flawless
good.
Russian.
The scenes where, because there's like a few moments, like this film again, it kind of has like what Winter Soldier does, except Winter Soldier does the whole movie, which is it dips darker than you expect MCU to go at points. The opening credits is a good example of it. Mm. The nose break's a good example of it. Alexi breaking the guy's arm in prison is a good example of it. But even just like the scene where Ray Winston is like, you can't hit me, Natasha.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like stuck. And then he's like, all right, I'm going to just peg you one in the face.
Yeah, that was very... He had a lot of menace to him, Ray Winston. But
even the scene where you just... The camera is just on Scarlett Johansson just getting punched in the face by a regular man.
Yeah,
you're like, yeah, this is fucked to watch.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
I do wish they'd had a little bit more depth to the villains. Mm.
Yeah.
I do wish they'd had a little bit more...
Especially because... We, the audience, as the Marvel MCU. That's right, the MMCU.
Yeah, I know. MCU.
MCU.
That's good, see you.
Like, we know that he wasn't the one running the Red Room when she was in the Red Room.
Yeah.
Seen who that was in
and
flashback.
Even if to assume that he was... This is the first time we've ever seen him.
Unless
I'm
mistaken, in which case, why didn't we know Ray Winston was in this film?
Yeah.
Mm. I mustn't be mistaken.
But yeah, but even if he was, it doesn't feel like, I agree, it was a great scene. He exuded a lot of menace. It was fucked up to see him.
I love to be like, I control everyone. And like, to what end?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
you'd like... And then you're going, and you got power.
It's just an MCU villain.
And
you've just
and you're
going
to use that power to.
They just love to be in charge.
And then you're going to.
Now that
you're in charge, you can.
But there's never.
And now.
I could crash the stock market.
Yes.
But have you?
And you've done that because.
Put your money where your mouth is, Ray Winston.
Do it now.
Yeah.
Listen here, Black Widow, love.
Right, love. Right.
Basically, fucking. Picture this, love. Your mate, me. All this shit you see right here, love? Me.
Yeah. Look, stock point pictures here of a oil fire?
Yeah.
That's me. War? That's from a news article. Me.
Oh, I did the war. How? To what end?
McGill's!
They started the war and somehow if I made money off it, it's unclear.
Yeah.
Is it financial profit I desire?
I've not made
it apparent.
I'm very powerful, but I'm up here in my sky castle.
Yeah.
Oh, that was...
Have you seen the James Bond flick Tomorrow Never Dies, love? Yeah. It's kind of like that, I guess.
Trevelyan-esque, you could say, but not quite as well.
No. I'm more the guy, Trevelyan, not really my scene. It's more the guy in the movie after that. You see, the movie you're referencing there is GoldenEye, love.
Oh, blimey. Also, there's two of us. Yeah, it was I wish it had been a better film. And like I said, I enjoyed like quite a lot of it. I think Florence Pugh's performance was incredible. I thought even Scarlett Johansson was pretty good. Like again, I don't know if she had heaps to work with or if, yeah. I don't know.
I really like a lot of some of the cinematography, like when Scarlett Johansson is like driving out to get fuel for a generator and just out of the blue, a missile just blows up.
Yeah,
her car.
That was
that
cool.
was great. The bit where like, we got to get to St. Petersburg or whatever outside that. And it's like, you're not going to have enough petrol and like, okay. And falls from the sky.
That may be one of the best jokes the MCU's ever done.
That
was great. There was actually good comedic moments in this that made me laugh a bit.
Yeah.
And again, it wasn't that usual MCU quippiness.
Yeah,
and the humor in this I thought was on point. I really liked that. I loved
it's quip.
Florence Pugh to be that whole like, why are you always posing? And then she tries and it's like, oh, that's fucking gross.
No good.
And the whole thing like, this would be a cool way to die. This is not a cool way.
Yeah.
The quips... There is quips in this, but the quips have like a meanness or violence to them.
Yeah.
And because I guess most of them are, well, yeah, Black Widow and Yelena and Red Guardian and stuff like that, because they're just like, yeah, we've murdered so many people.
Yeah.
So like a lot of their stuff just comes from, a place of hate. Crash this. You believe that Yelena would crash a helicopter just because she's like, you're a fucking idiot, man.
That was beautiful. That moment where he's talking about like, you are the youngest child assassin. No one has more confirmed kills than you. I'm so proud. And I'm like, that would make sense if you didn't spend only 3 years together.
That would
make sense if you had grown up and she was 8 and all that kind of stuff, or that you were part of that whole like, trained to say,
or honestly, even if after the 3 years
they went back,
or not even back, but we just got a sense of them working within the same systems. Do you know what I mean? Like, if they were like, they're doing missions, but they still know each other and they're still interacting and they're growing with each other, it's just a really, really fucked up family because they've become a family under the worst possible conditions, i.e., as people who have been MK Ultra to kill the president or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that would have been, I don't know, that would have made it feel a bit more legitimate, but otherwise, I don't know, not quite, which is a shame.
Yeah. It's a swing and a hit, but not very far. You're probably getting to first base.
Yeah.
Baseball.
Yeah.
And maybe, just maybe, if you love Florence Pugh and you love Scarlett Johansson, like me, you've snuck to second.
Yeah. It's like you hit it. It's gone to home. It looks like a home run. As you're running to first, you've tripped.
Yeah.
Face first into the first plate. You've looked up. No one's noticed too much. So you're going to go and just waddle your way a second.
Gotta go steal a second.
Be like, I'm here. And no one, is anyone making an issue?
I feel like that this, okay, so this is like baseball analogy.
I'm excited.
A batter that is dog shit. And no one respects at all. And everyone's like, why are we sending this person out to bat now? This seems like a really bad idea. And then they hit it decently and run to second. You're like, ah.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be handy in the future, maybe. Yeah. Or, like, that was good. That was something.
That play would have been good a few plays ago.
Yeah, in the, in the first couple rounds.
When we had someone on, like, third and second.
Yeah.
When we were three innings down. When it was in the fourth innings and we had someone on second.
Yeah.
And that shot would have been perfect. But unfortunately, late in the eighth, just having someone plant on second base, couple of outs.
That's just to make you feel good now.
Yeah.
That's just for you. That's not for the team.
Yeah, exactly. But to be honest, out of this movie, we will see Florence Pugh again.
Which is cool.
It's great because she was the best part of this movie, certainly for me. And we'll probably see Red Guardian again. It was another great part of this movie. So what that means is that the movie wasn't great. The characters were pretty good.
Yeah.
And the characters that were the best, we get to see more of. So ultimately, that's the win.
Yeah, it's a positive experience.
It's a positive experience. Even if we get Florence Pugh, Red Guardian, maybe that the whole the Widows thing, that's going to probably play a part in some Disney Plus series in the future, and that might be interesting. Maybe they'll come up in Hawkeye. Florence Pugh's going to hopefully kill Jeremy Renner.
Oh, man. Rule of fingers crossed. Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, oh, my God.
If Florence Pugh, the actor, killed Jeremy Renner, of the actor, that would be awesome.
I can't imagine her liking working with Jeremy Renner, the person, although she dates Zach Braff.
Zach Braff cameo in Hawkeye.
Oh my God, Zach Braff, New Hawkeye.
Yeah. Oh my Florence, God.
Right on the sheet now.
We gotta make a new one for the Hawkeye TV show. It's just one square.
Zach Braff,
New Hawkeye. Or Zach Braff playing Hawkeye's hairdresser.
I think that's a sin. Finch.
Yeah, like we have a few shots of Black Widow longingly looking at blonde hair dye. Are we going to have some longing memories of his horrible Endgame haircut?
Yeah, I hope
just,
so.
Just Jeremy to go again being like, I want, like having like a couple of like, you know, vision boards of different, you know,
different hairstyles.
And we just get like a bit of a scene going through each one.
I hope in that the Hawkeye TV show, they're like, why did you go for the Yakuza? And we learn. Because why did he do that?
The Ronin tattoo. Why?
Why did he decide, if my wife died, my next step wouldn't be to pick a mob that's random?
Well, he didn't. He went. I think he went cartel first, then he went Yakuza. Through.
Bold to go all mobs.
Well, yeah, because his thing, I don't know if you remember, and
I don't.
Vaguely remember this. His thing was, my wife and kids were pure and good of this earth. If anything, I should have been snapped.
Yeah.
But they've been taken from me, so I'm going to go kill people that deserve to be dead more than them.
Yeah. Mm. It's like, it's unfair that good people went.
He basically became the Punisher.
Yeah.
It would be crazy if they spent more than a minute on it and used dialogue to express the intent.
I think that's all.
Because then Jackson would remember.
Yeah.
Do you reckon he could have was explaining that to his hairdresser?
It could have been a 20 minute scene and Jackson wouldn't remember.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Could have been addressed directly to.
Dear Jackson,
man thing is not a lock.
Kill the presser.
Kill the hand.
Okay, Jeremy.
Here is the intent behind the Hawkeye Ronin transformation.
Every single MCU movie has a scene where someone tells me to kill the president that no one else can see. I am Iron Man. Jackson, kill the president.
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. Okay, Iron Man.
I trust you,
Robert. Okay, right, too. Yeah. Jackson, it's been four phases, and the president is very much alive.
I've been busy. Okay.
We've changed presidents. Okay? Just kill one. Yeah, I'll get to it, Marvel movies. It's also good to imagine us all in the cinema and you're like, stop talking back to the film.
The movie doesn't want you to kill a president.
The movie has not addressed you, Jackson. Okay, Tony Stark, I'll kill the president. If you want me to, man.
So
I am Iron Man. I'm going to die now because Jackson hasn't killed the president. This is on you.
Okay, Iron Man. If he's got to go, he's got to go.
Two last things. One, do we think that the end credit scene is going to tie into anything except Hawkeye, or is that just a setup for the Hawkeye TV series?
Definitely Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
Basically.
Elaine.
Yeah.
Has already set up US Agent to do some stuff, and I doubt US Agent's going to rock up in Hawkeye.
True. So, but I think it's kind of almost a bit disappointing because this implies Florence Pugh has gotten brainwashed again.
No, she's doing it for money.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good.
And she thinks she's working. Well, no, it's the same as US Agent. Because remember.
Oh, that's true. I forget. It's not very on the upfront evil. It's the Hydra Shield thing again.
Yeah. It's like she represents the American government, basically. Because Power Broker is now in charge of Shield again. Mm. Shield's fucked again.
What's the layers now? Red, the Black Widows.
No. It's the top one is now Power Broker.
Oh, yeah.
Who controls Shield? Who controls the government?
Yeah.
Where's Elaine?
Does she control Shield or does she have sway in the Senate?
Is Shield still around or is it Sword?
Well, it's Sword.
Oh, they're in space. They're the highest physically.
Physically. You can't get much higher than space.
Our Lord up in heaven.
The Christian Sword. God.
Post God.
Yeah.
Sort of post God.
Yeah.
Based God.
But yeah, no. So
I think it would have been nice if you had Elaine at the start with Thunderbolt Ross, with it, chasing down. Just to kind of understand, because I'm guessing what they're trying to do is either the Thunderbolts or the Dark Avengers or whatever it is. And I'm guessing it's like initially it would have made sense to have Thunderbolt Ross as it, but because he's getting a bit long on the tooth, we've got to have someone new, so they're going to use
Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Elaine.
The name is Contessa Valentina?
Yeah.
To use Valentina. But it's kind of like it would have been nice to have a bit of a passing of the torch there somewhere to be, I'm understanding that it's still kind of either the government or maybe it's just a private thing. But yeah, she will appear in like a bunch of.
Well, because S.H.I.E.L.D. is basically, like, as in,
we're going to get Thunderbolts or Dark Avengers, and we're going to get Young Avengers, and it's going to be sweet.
Yeah.
And we're going to get the X-Men, and I'm going to be happy.
Yeah. Man-Thing's going to be in the next Marvel property, Shang-Chi or whatever.
Well, this ties back into what you said about the last Marvel, the Black Widow baseless speculation episode where I talk about the backstory a little bit. This also, I'm just going to like tie this back in because. We were told, like, this movie was meant to come out before Falcon and Winter Soldier originally. Mm-hmm. And then Falcon and Winter Soldier was straight after that, meaning that Florence Pugh, I guess, was intentionally meant to join, well, we'd see her with Contessa first, mm-hmm. and then US Agent. But neither of those are good introductions for the character. So was there stuff that they cut out because they're like, oh, you don't need that anymore because you got it in Falcon and Winter Soldier?
Good point, maybe. Yeah. Mm. Because it's also pretty weird, too, because obviously they're trying to do like a parallel of the Nick Fury thing.
Yeah.
But like, it's weird to have that spread across both movies and TV shows. And the fact that Black Widow is released on Disney Plus, not like alongside a theatrical release,
yeah.
probably lends credence to your theory, because if it was just a theatrical release, you know what I mean? Like, that flow on is strange. It's not movie to movie. It's like movie in the cinema to TV show. But if you're going on a streaming platform to another property on a streaming platform, it's like it's a more linear.
Yeah. I assume what the original premise was going to be was, you know, people see the movie, they see the post-credits scene, they're like, who's this character at the end? They Google it. Mm. Marvel reveals that she's going to feature in Falcon and Winter Soldier. It brings them to the TV show.
Yeah,
but now
right.
it's like you have had to have seen the Disney Plus show to understand the post-credits scene,
which
is a rough backwards move.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. So maybe the scenes were exactly how they were meant to be.
Yeah.
It's just that...
Going backwards feels so much stranger than going forward.
Although now it can be like, oh, who the hell was that? Oh, it's available now at Disney Plus.
Yeah,
I guess it works.
No, it kind of works.
More,
yeah.
But, yeah, because one thing that the Hawkeye TV series, and this ties directly into Black Widow, this actually answers more questions than we thought.
Yeah.
Because the Hawkeye TV series had a really weird announcement process where it went into production before they announced it was happening, and there was lots of leaks about it. But they hadn't actually confirmed what the show was, even though they'd already announced a bunch of shows that weren't in production yet.
Okay.
And it's presumably because they were going to announce it on the back of this.
Yeah.
Which is what they've done with the Captain America 4 film on the back of Falcon and Winter Soldier.
I think I ponder
that maybe things were indeed fucked.
Yeah, man.
When we're going for Dark Avengers, do we want to start calling them like, so is Florence Pugh cursed Black Widow or fucked Black Widow?
Punished Black Widow.
Or punished
Black Widow.
So we've
punished Black Widow and punished Captain America.
Yeah.
And punished Elaine.
Well, they did.
Oh, no. What if Elaine
punished Elaine?
Yeah. So, well, they're all kind of been a bit punished. So, yeah. I'm going
to
get punished.
What happened to
punished
Elaine?
Punished Hulk for losing to Wong in the tournament.
Yeah, punished Hulk. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it's all punished Hulk. It's all happening.
Yeah. Really making me think. And finally, Jackson, how scared were you that you were going to have to walk out of this film?
I was terrified. There were at least two scenes where I was like, I'm going to have to get up because if people recall in the Black Widow episode, I said that if Red Guardian says, how does he do it all day, then I would have to get up and leave. And I would have stuck by that promise. Mm. And there were a couple of times where I was in my seat. I was ass off the chair, hands on the armrest, ready to bolt.
Was so early.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the prison break scene is the only time where I thought, I was like, oh, it's about to happen.
Yeah, I was
because
so
there's
ready.
Like a thing where he kind of stands and gets ready to make a quip, but looks tired, but he gets interrupted by an explosion or something.
Yeah, I thought it might have been happened there, or there's a later fight with Taskmaster where he gets the shield, and I was like, once he's got that shield, I'm done, dude. I reckon, toast.
I reckon if that fight had been a little bit longer and we would have seen a bit more of it, I reckon that would have they could
I reckon
easily
if,
snuck
if
that in.
If stuff's been cut from this movie, it saved my ass.
They'd leave that quip in if it was in, because it's a reference. It's a thing to a thing.
Yeah, that's your thing.
I just don't... I think that once we got past that part where I thought it was... It seemed like it were about to happen. I was like, we're not going to see it because the quips don't match that type of quip in the movie. And
true.
It's the same at the start of the film where we see Black Widow, like, cupboard. Is it a cupboard or a handbag? It's something.
Yeah.
Something has blonde hair dye in it. And I was like, the moment we've seen that, if the next scene isn't her dyeing her hair, we're not going to see her dye her hair. Her hair will be dyed. But because, you were so set on the fact that
she was going to dye her hair.
Yeah. Like a scene in the film would be her in the mirror dyeing her hair.
Yeah.
Well, you got so close.
I got so close.
So close.
And I guess that's that.
I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
I've been Joel.
I've been Ethan.
And Ethan, where can we find you?
You can find me at Ether Taylor, ETHATAYLO, on pretty much everything. That's Twitter, Instagram, Twitch.
Oh.
I do streams.
Hell yeah.
Like my pro gamers in front of me.
Yeah, that's it. But not the pro gamer next to you, Joel Zammert, who is...
No, I refuse.
Yeah, smart. Maybe the proest gamer move of all. Log off Twitch.
The only winning move is not to play.
Got anything you're working on that you want to talk about?
Not really, no.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, see you guys. Bye!
Thanks for listening to Baseless Speculation. Remember to rate and review us on iTunes, and if you want us to hear about your baseless speculations, just email us in at baselessspeculation@gmail.com, and to continue the conversation, head on over to our Sandspants Discord or Facebook group. Links to those are in the show notes.